Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Everyone, welcome back to ClickFunnels Radio. I have the opportunity right now of having a dear friend of mine who actually is working for the company for quite some time, but the part I've enjoyed the most is Miles Clifford has been a huge face in a ton of our ads. He's been a huge face in our affiliate program. He's ran our events. He's a man of many hats, and the best part is he wears them all extremely well. And I think the part you guys are going to be most excited about hearing from Miles today is really kind of going and seeing what is new and exciting that he's been working on inside of ClickFunnels that has literally helped us scale and grow the company faster during these crazy times than we ever thought possible. So with that, Miles, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Dave, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. And ClickFunnels has allowed me to wear many different hats, but also allowing a ton of growth. And I figured things out or learned things I never thought I would need to learn or ever care to learn, but I've learned them and it's been a blast.
I love it. And you've done such a great job with it. I want to kind of dive right into this virtual event. So for those of you guys who aren't aware, we did what was known as our Two Comma Club Live event. It was a three-day virtual event, very similar to what some people would have experienced if they actually had attended a Funnel Hacking Live. But Russell literally ran this thing for 3 days, bringing in some of the most amazing content speakers where we've had actually at Funnel Hacking Live. And I think the part that was most magical for me as I was talking with Russell about it was never before had we had the opportunity of really choreographing an event that was exactly what every single person needed to hear in the order in which they needed to hear to create the success that they wanted to have happen. And fortunately, we had Miles behind the scenes pulling all of this off. And so I want to really kind of pull back the curtain here. I want to have people understand what's it really take to have, we had close to 4,000 people register for the event, 3,000 people actually attend the event live, and just crazy, crazy numbers. Miles is the magician who literally pulled this all together. And so with that, I'm going to let him kind of tell you guys about what it takes to pull off that kind of an event, pitfalls, things you need to be aware of, and what actually worked real well. Miles, let's dive right into it.
Perfect. Well, first off, if you didn't attend the event, you missed out. Like Dave said, you know, Russell and the rest of the team were able to really choreograph this event where it was meaningful and impactful from literally the first presentation till the end. And like, there was times where you just sitting there like, I've seen these presentations. I've been there. I felt the emotion in the room live, but it was still like hitting super hard and like feel like the emotions that you feel at a live event. So kudos to Russell. If you missed it, tough luck. Hopefully maybe one day we'll do it again because it was incredible. But like Dave said, you know, we took a in-person event, Funnel Hacking Live, and tried to take it into the virtual space. And there's been others who have been needing to do this because their whole livelihood is events. And so, you know, they've been trying to figure out, how do I take an in-person event? How do I take that exact same experience, the registration process, the networking, the, you know, meet and greets, and just the kind of intensity that comes with an in-person event? How do I take that online? And so we were lucky. We were able to watch a few other people do it. There was like Pete Vargas, there was Sage, there was Jeff Walker, and all the others who have done that before us. And so we were able to see what they did and really nitpick our favorite things that they did and apply it to ours. So, I mean, super appreciative of them and for testing the model out, but we were able, I feel, to take what worked well from them and apply it and what didn't work well for them and not apply it. So, Dave, you got to want to hop in and talk about, or have me talk about, you know, what we did with Zoomzilla, or do you want me to talk about just...
Yeah, so I think it's important for everyone to understand, if you don't mind, kind of talk to people about what we did. This a little different, where we did an invisible funnel on the front end.
Yes.
If you want to kind of explain to people how that worked.
Yeah. So the invisible funnel, I don't think we've actually used it since probably my first month at ClickFunnels over 3 years ago. An invisible funnel is where you give them two options. They can either pay up front a discounted price. So for us, we offered them a $147 ticket. They paid up front. It came out of their account that day and it got them access to the event, and it also got them replays for about a week and a half after the event took place. Where the invisible funnel comes into it is if they decided to do that, they didn't owe anything the day they purchased their ticket. It was $197. They didn't get access to replays, and their card was not charged until after the event, a couple days after. But they had a chance to write in and tell us, hey, if they felt they didn't get the value out of it, they could write in and tell us, please don't charge my card, and we didn't charge their card. But I won't go into numbers, but you know, we had,
I'll go into the numbers. You actually were allowing me to buy some time to pull the stats up. So, all right. So, what we looked at here is we had 4,635 people actually register for the event. Of those, almost 3,000 people paid upfront. Like Miles just made mention, were $147. So 3,000 people paid knowing in advance that I want the discount because I already know the value that Russell's going to provide is well worth my money and I want to go ahead and do that. So roughly 64% of the people paid upfront. We then had 36% of people, or about 1,700 people on the back end, who decided to kind of wait and see. And those are the ones who then end up getting charged on the back end at 197. The part that was fascinating for us is as we looked at this, we ended up having a one-time offer built into this, and that was our Funnel Hacking Live tickets. So we actually ended up selling almost 3% of the people, 105 tickets to Funnel Hacking Live were sold in going through the funnel. So we almost ended up hitting the Two Comma Club funnel on this one event that we did. I think we ran it for just about, was it 10 days?
Literally, it was 17 days.
17 days.
Which is, I mean, if people have to realize, we spend a full year trying to fill 5,000 seats at Funnel Hacking. We took 17 days and filled, what did you say, 4,700 seats, which is insane. And, you know, we can get into some of the details, but Funnel Hacking Live, we have to charge people $1,000 per ticket because it literally costs that much to put on an event, right? And the cool thing about virtual events is, you know, the money that Dave just talked about, where 3,000 people took the $147 offer and then 3% took a $1,000 Funnel Hacking Live ticket, which is insane to go from pretty much a free event to a $1,000 upsell. Fantastic, by the way. You know, there is a lot less costs that come along with a virtual event. And so these numbers that you're hearing, a lot of that is stuff that we're able to take and put back into ClickFunnels and continue to grow the business to help you grow your businesses. So super cool experience for us. And the fact that, you know, just what we talked about, fill an event in 17 days, have it not, you know, have to spend every penny we make to have this experience was super cool.
I love it. So let's talk about filling the event, because that's going to be important for people. We ended up doing obviously a lot of emails that went out to our list. What were some of the other things do you remember that we ended up doing to drive people in?
Yeah, we ended up doing a CPA for our affiliates, right? So I think, you know, whatever they brought in and promoted, the people, they got $147 or $197 if they paid after the event. That's kind of unheard of. We've never done that with Funnel Hacking Live. We've never done that with anything. But with 17 days crunch time, we had to get this event filled as quickly as possible. And so we were getting our affiliates to help there. We sent out a ton of emails. I know we were doing Facebook Lives. Russell was doing lives. We were running advertisements to it. And also the way Russell choreographed this event is he had quite a bit of presentation time, but he also mixed in Funnel Hacking Live presentations from the past, and we had them promote to their audience. So, you know, we had Bailey Richard, we had Stacey Martino, Myra Golden, Prince EA, and these other people that were essentially a part of this event promoting to their audience, which helped fill, again, 4,700 tickets in 17 days.
Huge accomplishment. So congratulations to you and the entire marketing team for pulling that off. Now let's go, kind of dive right in as far as the mechanics behind it. Huge shout out in advance to Barry and Blue over at Sage. They were huge. They've been a huge part of our Funnel Hacking Live events. In fact, all of our events for quite some time now. So again, Barry and Blue, I appreciate all their value and all the content they provided to help us from a consulting standpoint, and then really helping us with some of the actual tech. And then also, I'd be remiss if I didn't definitely shout out to Brett and his team over at Valiant Productions and pulling that together. So go ahead and fill us in as far as what actually has to happen behind the scenes to make this tech stuff actually work.
Well, yeah. So again, super huge shout out to Barry and Blue. Appreciative of Blue from over at Sage from taking my calls late at night, 2 hours ahead. So when I'm calling him at 11, it's 1 a.m. He's still answering. So big thank you to him. But they had tested out this model where, because what we wanted to do, and this is where we should probably take a step back. What we wanted to do is, you know, when you're at Funnel Hacking Live, you have the opportunity to interact with so many people, you know, create JV partnerships, create relationships, networking opportunities. Just that is one of the greatest things about in-person events. with the virtual, we've seen a lot of people just running almost glorified webinars where there's not that interaction. And that's not what we wanted. And the events that happened before us, that's not what was having a ton of success. The people that did have interactions with their audience and them being able to interact with one another, that's where the success was happening. So we wanted to allow all 4,700 attendees to go out into small breakout rooms of about 5 to 6 people. And okay, sounds easy enough, but Zoom has restrictions where you can't create that many Zoom rooms. So if you have 1,000 people in a Zoom room, I think you're only allowed to create 10 Zoom rooms or 10 breakout rooms. And that, all those are huge breakout rooms. You can't have people networking with 100 people in there and just interrupting one another in that. So where we could get to that 5 to 6 people per breakout room, we had to do meeting rooms no bigger than 300 people. And you got to do the math, you know, 5,000 people divided by 300 is 17 about. So we had to literally create 17 new Zoom accounts. Then we had to create 17 Zoom meetings, and then we had to really tie them all together. And that's why we called it Zoomzilla. And we had everybody, when it was time to go to breakout rooms, we had everybody had 3 computers assigned to them. They'd assign everybody to the breakout rooms, hit the send button. Everybody would go back to the breakout rooms. When Russell called them back, we'd hit a button, bring them all back together. And it was just, you would think that in the technology age we're in, that we could find something that could do all that. But, you know, Barry and Blue helped us figure out how to do it. And really it was Zoomzilla taped together with, 10 employees and who knows what else.
So it was fascinating for me behind the scenes watching. Again, Miles, you did an amazing job pulling this off. But literally walking into a room and seeing 17 different monitor laptops set up, all tied together. The crazy thing for me, though, was to see the excitement of those people attending.
Yeah.
Because I think what you made mention, Miles, and I think it's important for everyone who's listening to understand, the last thing you want is just to have a glorified webinar. If you're doing a virtual event, it literally has to be an event. It's got to feel live. It's got to feel... people have to feel engaged. They've got to feel like they're connecting with others. If you don't mind, Miles, if you can kind of just talk about some of those. I don't know if you even have access to some of the comments and stuff.
I can.
And if you want to pull those up while I'm talking here. I think the part that I found most exciting was, let me kind of see if I can paint the picture. So you've got Russell standing on a stage inside of a studio with a beautiful backdrop behind us, 2 Comic Club Live. You've got the podium set up there. The screen actually has a huge digital display, about a 60 or 57 inch monitor there where they could see that. But then what Russell was looking at was 8 different monitors that literally had hundreds of people's faces on there, to where he literally is connecting with the people who are in the Zoom rooms talking to him, and just the excitement that they had of seeing Russell. I ended up doing an Instagram story going live, and it was fascinating for me to see people tagging me saying, "Oh, I saw myself in there. I can't believe you saw me." And to see people to really feel like they were actually at a live event where they were networking with each other, where they felt like the value they got in those breakout rooms was almost as good as if they literally had been in Nashville, sitting in the foyer, laptop to laptop with somebody else, talking and networking and communicating, consulting with each other and their funnels. And just to feel the excitement, to feel the energy and the appreciation, even as each night as we shut things down, they're like, "Oh, no, don't close it down. Don't close it down. Wait. And yep. To see that kind, to feel that energy, that's what you need to be able to create during a virtual event.
Yeah, 100%. And, we've talked about this many times. Entrepreneurship is a lonely road. And so that's one of the greatest things about these in-person events is being able to connect with other like-minded people and to see that you're not alone. You're not just the 1% crazy and you're not by yourself. And so for that, like Dave just mentioned, it was so important to do the same thing. So we have some of the comments in here. And someone like Pam, she said, "Boom, already got my money's worth." And this is talking just about breakout rooms. This one here, this was from Perry, said, "I've spent way too much time and money on entrepreneurial training, and this smokes them all. Also great to be around like-minded people." There's some other, people just raving about Russell. "My life has changed. We're not even finished with day one. Thankful for the connections I've already made." I mean, just those are things that you're connecting people, you're changing people's lives, you're getting them the motivation, the momentum they need to, either like get their business up off the ground and in motion, or to continue that motion that they've already built with their business. So just super cool to see that. And, when Russell said he wanted that, to have those connections, my first thought is like, okay, that's the best thing for our attendees, but holy crap, I have no idea how to do that. And, you know, I joked around with Dave, and it wasn't actually a joke. I was ready, I think, to, I had my keys in my pocket, and I was ready to get in my truck and drive off if it didn't work, because the night before, I literally give this maybe a 30% chance to work, like everything to come together and to work. And I was, and my wife's like, that's not good. I was like, I know, like, you know, I couldn't tell anybody, that was my fear. But just super thankful that it worked, and everybody, you know, just those comments we read, they were able to connect and build relationships. And, you know, we provided a private Facebook group as well for people to go in and to connect. And really what we told everybody, you know, after they registered for the event, we sent them emails, we gave them access to the members area, and we tried our best to create videos and create announcements and information, letting them know where they needed to be, when they needed to be there, and telling them, hey, you have this Facebook group. This is now your foyer. Like, use the Facebook group as your virtual foyer where you're making connections and meeting people and continue to build that excitement before, during, and a few days after the event.
So with that, let's talk about the actual membership area, because that was part of the, that was the glue that kind of held things together. So one we ended up having was the Facebook group, which was fantastic. Yep. But you worked real hard with our marketing team on the membership site, because that was us. The other people who have done these things before us, where things fell apart was on the dashboards that they were using. And yeah, there's nothing more frustrating when you're trying to connect with an audience and they don't know how to get links and they don't know how to join. So if you don't mind, kind of walk through some of this behind the scenes of what actually took place inside the membership area.
Yeah, so we utilized the membership area as really, again, another foyer, an extension of that Facebook group. That is where people, we, you know, as soon as they signed up for the event, there was a link taking them to the members area. And that first, there was a video of Russell really passing the baton to me, like saying, hey, this is Miles. Listen to what he has to say. He's going to tell you how to, you know, make sure you're present for this event and get the most out of it. And so what we did is we utilized that members area to put videos in there, like telling them, hey, this is how you use Zoom if you've never used Zoom before. This is how you create an account with Zoom. This is where you need to go to get into the Facebook group. This is how you should utilize the Facebook group. This is how you should mentally and physically prepare for the event. This is where you're going to find your links when they come out on day one, day two, and day three of the conference. Because the last thing we wanted was people blowing up our support saying, I can't find my links to the Zoom room. And remember, we said there were 17 different Zoom meetings. So we had to, big shout out to Jamie Smith. He custom coded an app that we shoved all these different 4,700 members in, and it divided them up. It divided those 17 Zoom room links up and split them up in their different members areas, which hopefully that made sense, but it was just an insane feat by Jamie to build that. I think he built it in one night. So, but we use that to just really be that hub, that almost event guide, the help desk, everything all in one in that members area and Facebook group.
So what were some of the takeaways, if you were to do this again, or you were coaching someone through on how to actually do an event like this, what are some of the takeaways that you've had, or things you would make sure people did?
Yeah, so Brent and I, Brent Co-Peters, we talked about this the other day, and I think one of the things I would do is, you know, what we did in the members area and in that Facebook group is we went live and we created videos telling them what they needed to do. And like day one, it was create a Zoom account. Day two, you know, make sure you know how to use Zoom. Day three, this is how you do this. I think what we would do is we would take all of those 13 videos and combine them into one and do that same video every single day, because the likelihood of someone watching all 13 videos is pretty slim, but the likelihood of them watching one of those 13 videos is pretty high. And even though it says the same thing, they're going to know what they need to do, when they need to do it, and how. So I think that's one thing we would change is, you know, even us as marketers, like, you know, we try to read every email that comes in so we can learn, we can apply it, we can, you know, funnel hack or copy hack. We still don't watch every single video. And so I think that's what we need to realize is when we're, you know, helping people prepare for events or anything in general, they're probably not going to watch every single video. So just shoot them with the same video over and over and over again, and they'll see that and know what to do.
Great idea. Other things you can think of?
You know, I think the Zoomzilla was insane. I don't know if I have any other advice for that. I think, you know, we saw what Sage did. We saw what Stacy and Paul did. And we really tried to build something that was going to be the best case scenario for us and the best use scenario for our members. And so I don't know. I mean, this could be our post-con meeting. Dave, let me know what you'd like to see done. Let me know.
No, honestly, I think the part for me that was most exciting was to see the engagement. And I think if you're going to go out and do one, you don't need to do it for 3 days. That was the amount of time that we needed to get to deliver the content we wanted at the end. But if you're going to do one, again, I highly recommend this as more than just a webinar. And you have to truly treat it as a live event where people have to find some way of connecting and of engaging with people. That's really what's going to separate your event from a webinar. The other thing I think, again, huge shout out to you and your team in really pulling together not only the Zoomzilla, but really the opportunity of finding a way to actually have moderators who are there answering questions. And I know at times that can take a lot of staff. We were fortunately blessed to be able to have just amazing people who are in there answering questions. Yep. People want to feel like they literally want to be grabbed by the hand and walked through this event like you would if you were to attend an event. If all of a sudden you got lost in the foyer and you're like, I don't know where to go. Where should I sit? It's that type of thing you have to think of. And Miles, a huge shout out to you and your team because you guys literally thought through all those things in advance. And so for those of you guys who are listening, you're thinking about doing an event like this, I highly recommend that you try to make it as truly live as a virtual event as you possibly can. And you think through, if I was doing a live event, what would be some of the things we would have to do? Part of that, again, from a registration standpoint in our membership site, how do they get that? So they know where to go. And again, realize they had a different link every single day. So they had to know exactly where to go. And I was amazed. And again, Miles, your team did such an awesome job at allowing people to really feel connected every step of the way. And I think if you're listening to this, you're wanting to do a live event, I highly recommend that you have to consider those types of things and do whatever you can to make that happen.
Yeah, I agree. And that's exactly it. Like when you're at an in-person event, you see the signs, you see the lines where other people are, and you just kind of follow them and you know where you're supposed to go. And we have staff there directing you around. Exactly like Dave said, you got to make sure that's the same thing in the virtual space, because if someone can't find a link or doesn't know where to go to find a link, like they may search, but they're going to be late to it, or you just have to know, like your support team needs to know where they're sending them if they can't find a link. The Facebook moderators need to know. And we did a good job, but that was because we had a lot of contingency plans in place. And that's another recommendation. If you're doing this, have some contingency plans in place, because technology, I think we've all learned, is it's one of the greatest things ever, but sometimes when you need it to work, it doesn't. So have things in place for that worst case scenario.
I love it. Well, Miles, if people want to reach out to you, what's the best way of connecting with you?
If they want to reach out to me, they can hit me up at events@clickfunnels.com. That's probably the best way. And I'm pretty good at responding to emails most of the time, unless you send me something I don't want to respond to. But yeah, that's probably the best way to reach me.
Thanks so much, Miles. Appreciate it a ton.
Hey, Dave, no problem, man. This was fun. And the virtual event, I can't wait to do another one, because now we know there's a lot less stress with it.
So, thanks, everybody.
All right. We'll talk to you later.